Hello, everyone. This is Natasha Rubin, founder and facilitator of Passion to Purpose. And as always, I am so excited when you join us for our P2P Talks. Due to some technical difficulties, you are hearing a re-recording of our March 19th discussion instead of the actual call. The information that was shared by our speaker was very informative and important, and we really wanted to make sure you received a quality recording. For those of you that are joining us for the first time, P2P Talk is an extension of our online women's support group that I facilitate called Passion to Purpose. Passion to Purpose is an online network that was created by women for women so we may support one another while we learn, share, and grow together. We focus on our personal, professional, and spiritual growth. So if you want to learn more about P2P, please go to our website at p2pwomen.com and sign up to receive our newsletter, or you can send me an email at Natasha, N-A-T-A-S-H-A, at p2pwomen.com, and I would gladly answer any questions you may have. Okay, so without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you our speaker, Ms. Siobhan Lenore Perrott. And Siobhan is a trained researcher and has spent over 15 years studying what it takes to have healthy relationships. She is a multi-passionate individual and is known to organize amazing events that create meaningful connections. She creates interactive workshops on a range of topics that include relationships and infertility. She is a blogger and aspiring author. Siobhan is a natural mentor and advisor, and her personal mission is to use her knowledge, skills, and experiences to inspire others to take action in their lives. And I'm going to introduce to you again Ms. Siobhan. And hi, Siobhan.
Hello there. How are you, Natasha?
I am great, and I am so grateful that we were able to re-record your exciting, informative, and very important conversation that we had last night. So I'm just going to let you take over and introduce your topic, and let's get started.
Okay, fantastic. So hello, ladies. I am so excited for this re-recording of the call, and I'm really, really thrilled to be able to share with you what I've prepared, and it is entitled Not So Happily Ever After, 10 Keys to Having the Relationship You Want. And so this is all about giving you strategies and tools that you can use right away to have the relationship you want. And this is for whether you're married or dating or now single. You know, my hope is that you will walk away with some great information, but more importantly, with something that you can actually do right away to improve the quality of your relationship. And before I get started, I really want to thank Natasha and P2P Women for inviting me to be the featured speaker for their March call. It really is my honor to, one, be connected to Natasha, who's an incredible woman, but also to the many other amazing women who are pursuing their passions and purpose in life through P2P. Let me also say that I know how busy we are as women and that there are many things on our plate. And honestly, if I'm not doing 12 things at once, I feel like I'm not really doing anything. So I know right now many of you are multitasking. You have something going on over here, something going on over there. And so I just want you to know that I get it and that I'm really honored that you are even taking the time to listen to what I have to share. And I'm happy to be a part of your multitasking at this very busy hour and busy time of our lives. And again, the great thing is that this is recorded, so you can listen to it again and again, and also feel free to share it with anyone else that could benefit. So a little bit about me. As Natasha said, I am Siobhan Perrott, and for those of you who like to know credentials, I was trained as a public health researcher as one of the best institutions in the country, and I've spent the past 15 years researching relationships and developing relationship-based programs. I also own my own company called Relatable, which is all about the work of relating well, and that's relating well to ourselves, to others, to the circumstances of our lives. We provide couples and individual coaching. We provide workshops and events that really do help people create meaningful connections. And our job is to provide the best strategies for you to relate well to anyone and anything in your life. And so that is that. But more importantly, you know, just like you, I am a real woman who's had my share of great relationships and really painful relationships. And today I'm proud to say that I'm a happily married woman. I'm a mother to the most adorable 9-month baby girl. And I've been with my spouse for 9 years. We've been married for 3.5, but our relationship has had its own set downs. There have been times where I could not have been more in love with him, happy with everything that he was doing, jumping up for joy, you know, when he walked into the room, and sad to spend 1 second apart from him. And hopefully you can think back to moments like those in your own relationship. It really is a great time, and life just seems really, really good. But if I can also be a little bit honest and transparent with you, there have been some really hard moments in our relationship, you know, where the way that he thought about things and the way that I thought about things could not have been more different, where, you know, talking to him or even looking him in the eye was the last thing I wanted to do. There have also been periods where, you know, he was working so much that I felt like he was just a visitor in the house, and, you know, we were probably more connected to social media than we were to each other, or times where it seemed like, you know, I was doing everything and he was doing nothing. He's broken my heart, and there were moments where I wondered if I married the right person or wondered what happened to the person that I thought I married. And, you know, if you could be honest and transparent with yourself, you've probably had a moment or two like that as well. And I want you to know that that's okay, that we are all entitled to our experiences. And so in this call, I want to share, you know, how I've learned to manage myself during those really hard and really dark periods in my relationship. I'm going to be offering you strategies and tools that I've used in working with my clients to help them achieve a breakthrough in their own relationship. And before I do that, I also really want to just acknowledge that none of this is easy, and that, you know, every time something goes down in your relationship, you and only you have a choice in how you respond. And it's work. This is work, and it requires that you are intentional about doing the work to have the relationship you want. Now, there is only so much that I'm going to be able to share in this 1 hour that we have together, but I do want to give you some very specific things to think about and action steps that you can take right away. And so I promised you 10 keys to having the relationship you want, and we're going to get right into them. So key number one is to stop talking to everyone about the problems in your relationship. Now, as women, know that we like to connect, and sometimes we just want to vent to someone else who's going to understand and be on our side. But, you know, you have those conversations that are like, can you believe he, or I'm so mad at him because, you know, conversations like that rarely help us solve anything. And it's not to say that you can't be upset, because you can. You can have your moment of being upset, but it's your moment. And when we go and complain to other people about our partner, you know, it does a couple of things that are just honestly unhelpful. One, it magnifies the issue because you're giving energy to what's wrong, what's not working. And you can easily sort of spin out of control, making a bigger deal of something than it really is. It also makes us feel right, because we're going to someone who's usually our friend or family member who's always going to be on our side. And that enables us to justify our position, where we then cannot see any point of view that's different from our own. It also gives the person that you're sharing with a distorted view of your partner. You know, we're coming to them with what's wrong, and rarely are you calling to say, hey, let me tell you about how amazing my husband is. You know, so when you're just sharing the bad, it has a tendency to color the way your friend or family member or confidant views your partner, and that you may move on from what happened and feel, you know, all in love again, but they may still harbor a little bit of resentment because you, someone that they love and care about, was wrong or mistreated or hurt in some way. And so what do you do instead? You know, you have a fight, you're all upset, and you need to get it out. My recommendation is that you sit with it, that you write about it, that you process it on your own. And, you know, I'm going to share some ways that you can do that in a more productive way that can help you to feel better. Now, I want you to know I'm not suggesting that you paint this picture that everything is perfect when things are not. You know, if the people you care about ask, you can certainly speak in generalities. You can say, you know, we're working on some things, but it's going to be okay, or something like that. You can ask them to pray for you. You can ask them for resources that they know of that might be of help to you. And then if the person you're talking to keeps pressing you for those details, you know, you really do have to maintain your boundaries and recognize that maintaining the privacy of your relationship has to be a priority. And then you might be a little bit curious about why they want to know. You know, some people are just plain nosy, and then some people really do want to help, but you know the difference. And if one of your confidants is coming to you always with the latest gossip about someone else, this is probably not a person that you should share intimate details about your relationship. That doesn't make them a bad person. I'm sure you love to hear all that they have to share, but they really just can't help themselves. Now, in some instances, it really is helpful to have one or two people that you can truly trust who are going to help you to be objective and who actually challenge your thinking. The thing is, it's kind of hard to find someone like that because their advice is always going to be colored by their own issues, one, and then their caring and love for you. So it may make more sense to just seek out professional help from a coach or a therapist to just work through an issue. So again, key number one, stop talking to everyone about the problems in your relationship. Moving on to key number two, which is understanding the power of your thoughts and the story you tell yourself. So, you know, in most situations, there's your side, there's his side, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. So much of what makes us feel bad in our relationships has to do with the story going on in our head and the meaning that we give to things. So, for example, I shared that my husband works a lot. He does shift work, and he always stays a lot later than the end of his shift to sort of wrap things up. Now, many of his coworkers are able to leave work on time, but not him. So if I look at the situation for what it is, if I look at the truth and only the facts, which are he works late and he works a lot of shifts. So on the surface, there's nothing really good or bad about that. It just is what it is. Now, I could choose to make that mean something. I could tell myself that work is more important to him than being home, that he's selfish, that I don't have the option to be working late because I've got to be the one to pick up the baby, or I could tell myself that he cares more about making money than spending time with our family, or that he's an overachiever when he doesn't have to be. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And all of those options would just leave me being mad and upset at him. So when I create that story in my head, you know, the one that's he cares more about being at work than at home, I begin to unconsciously look for times when that is true. I continue to sort of build up this story, and, you know, I'm a little dramatic anyways, so it becomes this major issue in our relationship. And every time when something work-related comes up, I'm set off like a firecracker. So, you know, that's my example. Yours may be totally different. But the point here is that the meaning you give things is very powerful. It changes the way you see everything that's happening. A simple action or lack of action by your partner can really turn into the biggest deal because you've made it mean something that causes you upset and pain. So key number two, understand the power of your thoughts and the story you tell yourself. Moving on to number three is really an extension of that, and take a good look at what you're thinking. So it's important to not only recognize that the story we tell ourselves has power, but to really take some time to understand them. So many times we react to things automatically and we tell ourselves, you know, well, that's just the way I am, or I always get upset when people do X, or it always makes me mad when this happens. You know, and as human beings, we have what seem like these automatic thoughts or knee-jerk reactions to things. But the truth is that we weren't born thinking some of the things that we think. You know, we've certainly had experiences, but we've chosen to think about things in a certain way. And we practice thinking about things, and we get We get really, really good at it. And so, you know, maybe your partner didn't say thank you or show appreciation for something you did. Now, of course, you know, you have no way of knowing what was going on in his head, but you took it to mean he didn't appreciate you. And so now, any time that he doesn't say thank you or give you a compliment when you think he should, you automatically feel unloved and unappreciated. Again, that's just one example. You will have your own. So when that happens, you know, when you feel sad or angry or disappointed, pause and take a look at what you were thinking. It's almost like going inside of your head, getting the sentence out of your mind and putting it in your hand. And that sentence, you know, oftentimes will probably start with something like, you know, Mike never, or Eric always, or Jason is so. You know, so get your thought, look at it, take it out of your head and put it in your hand and just be curious about it, you know. Now ask yourself gently, you know, is this true? Is this true? So I'll use the example that I just gave. Let's take the thought, you know, my husband doesn't appreciate me and what I do. And I'll ask myself, is this a true statement? And usually you'll probably say yes because you have some evidence in your mind at the moment, you know, like, well, I cleaned the house, I cooked the dinner, I got the kids all set, he just walked in, ate the food, sat on the couch and watched TV. So in your mind, it is true that he doesn't appreciate you and the things you do. In that case, I want you to look at the thought again and ask yourself, is it really 100% true? Meaning that everyone in the world would look at that example and without one doubt say, yep, you're right. He doesn't appreciate you. You know, and if you're really honest, you know that the answer is going to be no, that's not true, because you can never really prove anything like that. So after you realize you can't prove it's true, the next thing is to just ask yourself, why do I choose to think that thought? Of all the things you could tell yourself, of all the stories you could come up with, why is that the one that you've picked? You know, now, ladies, this is not about beating ourselves up. It's just about being curious and learning about ourselves. There's no judgment at all. Your thoughts are your thoughts. Your experiences are your experiences. And what I'm offering is that there could be a different way of seeing things that would cause you less pain and upset. You know, I could do the whole talk on this point, but I promise you 10, so I'm just going to move on to the next one. But in summary, again, key number 3, take a look at what you're thinking. Key number 4 is to recognize that you've created a manual. Everyone has a manual. It's your policies and procedures for how people should treat you, what they should say, when they should say it, how they should say it, etc. It's your list of expectations or your rule book. And as women, we're so attached to our manuals that they become the only way we see that things should be. Now, a lot of times, our manual exists only in our head. But since it's so second nature to us, we expect that everyone else thinks the same way. So, for example, your manual might include, you know, you should call when you're going to be late, or you should help out around the house, etc. And if you think to yourself that it's just common sense, that's a good indication that it's part of your manual. And the truth is, it's not common sense to everybody. And unless you've had a very explicit and detailed conversation where a commitment was made, you can't assume that he's just going to know or that he'll just figure it out. And then you can't hold it against him for not reading your mind and memorizing this manual that only exists in your head. So what do you do about it? You know, my recommendation is to, one, be aware that you have it and that it's created, published, and produced by only you. No one else is a contributing author. No one else is a co-signer, which means that they really don't have to abide by it. But what you can do is share a page every now and then and ask for your partner's thoughts and feedback. And so, again, point number 4 is recognize that you have a manual. Key number 5, take responsibility for how you feel. Many of you can relate to some of these statements that I'll share. You know, he made me feel like I'm the bad guy. He makes me so mad. He makes me feel bad about myself. The key words here are make me feel, which automatically puts you in a victim role and gives him power over your emotions. The truth of the matter is no one can make you feel a certain way. That is 100% your job. Now, people can do certain things that may trigger thoughts that then make you upset, but you control what's happening in your mind, not someone else. And this one is sometimes hard to see because we have those knee-jerk reactions to things. You know, the house is a mess, so we get mad. Or he forgot to do something, and then we feel overwhelmed. He's not being affectionate, so we feel ignored. And I want to suggest to you that it's not really the house being a mess or him forgetting to do something or him not being affectionate that's making you feel a certain way. It's the story in your mind that you've created and the meaning that you've given it. And if you can understand and accept that, then you can take responsibility for how you feel instead of trying to place the blame on someone else. And when I say the word responsibility, I encourage you to think about it probably slightly differently than maybe you have in the past. I want you to break it apart and sort of look at it as two words, response and ability, which means that you have the choice and ability to respond any way you choose. As women, we are powerful human beings, and we have the power to guide our emotions through our thinking. You really don't have to be mad and upset unless you choose to. And you can have peace of mind even in craziness and chaos. You can just let it roll off of you. So, again, key number five, take responsibility for how you feel. Number six, accept and embrace reality. This one sort of always makes me chuckle. I'm so sure, you know, that all of us have heard the saying, you know, you can't change another person. You just have to accept people how they are. They aren't, you know, going to change their behavior just because you say so. They have to do it in their own time, and that's just how it is, right? So when it comes to our relationship with our partners, we think that's how we are operating. When my relationship was getting very serious and it looked like we were going to get married, I remember thinking that, do I love and accept everything about the way he is right now? Because I knew that any personality trait that he had was just going to get magnified. And I'm sure you've asked yourself something similar. And like me, your answer was probably clouded by love so much that you said yes and skipped along thinking you could accept him as he was, flaws and all. After all, no one is perfect, but he was perfect for you. So now I'm going to ask you if you've ever thought or said the words, you know, I just wish he would, or why can't he just, or if only he could. You know, let's be honest. I know that the answer is yes, which means you are really not living out this idea that you can't change another person. You know, well, you're probably thinking, well, what if he's not supposed to be doing what he's doing, or what if he really should be the way that you'd like? The answer is still honestly no. And to this point, you know, we have to not only accept but embrace reality. And that means we accept it for what it is, and we wouldn't want it to be any different. So, you know, it's sort of like if he likes it, you love it. He works all the time. It's true. You know, you wouldn't want it to be any other way. He doesn't help around the house. Perfect. That's just because that's what you want. I'm being a little extreme and dramatic, but I want to drive home the point that we suffer and get upset and angry because we want things to be different than the way they are. We argue with reality and we'll never win. We waste our time and energy imagining something should be different than the way it is, but the way it is always right because that's what it is. You know, a chair is just a chair. It's sitting there minding its own business, being the way it was created. You don't get mad at the chair for being because it's not bothering you because you don't let it. And believe it or not, you can actually get to a place like that with your partner and your relationship. You know, I would love to say more about this point, but I know that we have to move on. And I just want to pause because I feel like I'm talking a lot right now. Just pause for a quick second to see what Natasha has to say about where we've landed so far.
Okay, So this has been great so far. I just wanted to interject for a few minutes just to, you know, give you a break from talking and to also just look over some keys and just allow us, even though this is a recording, just to take a couple of minutes and just go over some key areas and some key thoughts and comments or, you know, that we have already gone over. So let's go back to key one. So, well, one thing I did write down that I thought that I have been thinking about was the comment that you and only you have a choice in how you respond. So just looking over even a current situation or incident that my husband and myself had this morning, not necessarily with each other, but a situation that came about that we could have reacted in a very harsh way, or just say, you know what, this is what it is, things happen, and, you know, let's learn from it and, you know, let it go and move on. And we chose to do the latter. And I must say that it kind of diffused a lot. Sometimes I think it takes a lot of more energy to stay angry or be upset than to just take a step back and say, you know what, you know, how important is this in the scheme of all that goes on in our lives? So I think if we can remind ourselves to do that, then, you know, we're able to deal with some situations a bit better. And key one, you know, stop talking to everyone about the problems in your relationship, to me is huge. You know, as was mentioned, as women, you know, we are emotional and we do talk a lot by nature. And sometimes, you know, we just want that listening ear. But I do agree that we have to be extra careful as to who we share what to, not to say, you know, just, you know, in the suggestions on sit with it, write about it, you know, process it on your own. And then, you know, you may have one or two people that you really, really can consider confidants that you might want to run some things by. But I do feel that it is very important not to, you know, share everything about your relationship. Key two, understanding the power of your thoughts and the story you tell yourself. Some things that I jotted down about that, the meaning you give things is very powerful, and I do believe that is true as well. It's easy to sit, and even though in key one we say, you know, do sit with it, write about it, process it, but I also think we have to be careful how we process information and not to always go back on something negative and reflect on that and then just let a story develop even more, grow even more in a negative way instead of just dealing with the current situation at hand. So I thought that was a very good point. Key number three, take a good look at you know, what you are thinking, your experiences, practice thinking about things in a certain way. So your past experiences in other relationships, whether it's a past relationship or even things that have gone on in your current relationship, do factor and at times plays a role in how you're thinking about a current situation. So it's good to know to have that key point. And let's see, key number four, to recognize what you have, that you have a manual, and it's a policy that we have created ourselves. And, you know, that also gives us some perspective and the suggestion of just be aware that you have it. You know, it's yours, it's written by you, you can share a page and have a conversation about it. I thought that was interesting as well. So, and those are just some things that I just wanted to kind of have us pause, and I'm going to turn it back over to Siobhan so that she can finish giving us our key points. And so get some more paper. Okay, Siobhan, are you ready?
I am. Thank you, Natasha. So, again, you know, we were just wrapping up with point number six to accept and embrace reality. And one of the questions we had gotten on the original call was around, you know, is that true in every situation? And I did want to be really clear that, you know, there are times, if you're in an abusive situation, whether it's physical, mental, sexual, or emotional abuse, you know, where your safety is really at risk, that, you know, your safety and security is number one, that you, you know, should not remain in a situation and just accept it for what it is under some circumstances. So I'm really talking about most of the times those annoying things in our relationships that, really disrupt us there. So then point number seven, key number seven, is to show compassion. And, you know, what I find that is the ability to be compassionate is one of the biggest keys to turning a relationship around. And it's also an essential ingredient in being able to forgive. You know, because we hear this word compassion a lot, I really wanted to be clear about the definition. And so I looked it up, and here's what I found. It is a sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortune of others. It's an emotion one feels in response to the suffering or others that motivates a desire to help. And then it also just literally means to suffer together. So compassion is more than just trying to understand someone else's perspective or experience. It's acknowledging, you know, that they are suffering, that they are in pain. And sometimes we see our partner's behaviors, but we don't see the pain and suffering that they experience underneath it all. So, you know, an example, you know, if your partner or your husband is rude or mean or says something that hurts your feelings, you know, you really have to think, you know, maybe they're in pain themselves and they just don't know how to express themselves any other way. You know, again, in my case, my husband works a lot, and we've had a lot of conversations about this. And what I learned was how painful it was for him to not be at home. He shared how sad he feels every time he walks out the door to say goodbye to us. And, you know, once I saw that he was suffering too, my whole perspective on the situation changed. And instead of being angry and upset at him, I was actually motivated to sort of make him feel better and to try to alleviate his suffering. You know, but sometimes this is hard for us because we focus a lot on how much we're suffering and how we've been wronged. You know, but when we can understand, you know, that loving someone else and being in relationship is not about what we receive, but what we give, compassion flows very easily. And, you know, I encourage you to consider, you know, have you ever thought that your partner hurts too, that he could feel bad and overwhelmed and maybe he could feel inadequate in some ways, but just doesn't have the skills to demonstrate that. And so, again, my suggestion here is to try compassion. And one thing that always comes to my mind when I'm trying to be compassionate is this phrase, everyone is doing the best they can. For me, it's instantaneous, and it, you know, helps me to just realize, you know, just to be compassionate. And that's because I know that I'm doing the best I can, and even still, I disappoint, I fall short, I make mistakes, you know, but I'm still doing the best I can, and you're doing the best you can, and he's doing the best he can. And this was another point where we got a great question on the call with someone who shared how difficult it is often to be compassionate to those who are closest to you, particularly your husband or your partner, where you could be really nice and compassionate and understanding of, you know, a distant friend or a distant family member, or even a coworker. You know, your heart just goes out to people that you don't, you know, interact with or is intimate with. But when it comes to, you know, our spouses or our relationship partners, those are some of the hardest times to really show compassion. And what I had responded to that question was, one, to, you know, look at your own self in terms of your own vulnerability. You know, it's easy to sort of put up a wall and get angry with someone and to not sort of expose yourself. And so when you can look inward for yourself and realize, you know, you're doing the best you can, yet there have probably been times when you've disappointed them, that sort of opens the door to the compassion. And then I think it's also, you know, equal to the amount that you can understand what they're going through, their suffering, and that you can get into a place where you want to be motivated to alleviate that suffering. And so, you know, it's hard to get that from men. It's hard to really, for them, one, to express, you know, I'm upset about this, or I feel pain about this, or I'm suffering in this way, because, you know, they've been taught to sort of hold that all in. And so it may take some good questioning, maybe through coaching, to really help them uncover their own pain, to expose that to you so that you can be more compassionate. But again, I think the other key, too, is to look at your thoughts. Part of the reason why it may be difficult to show compassion is because you've been telling yourself a certain story about this person. And so if you can examine your thoughts, and challenge your thoughts about how you see them and why you assume they're motivated to do things the way they are, that too may open your heart to be able to express and demonstrate compassion. And moving on to the eighth point, the eighth key is ask yourself empowering questions. And this one is one of my favorite things to do. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, we go around with a lot of stuff in our head. We're thinking hundreds of thoughts each minute. And I bet throughout the day, some of your thoughts come in the form of questions. So, for example, something might be like, why on earth would he do that? Or what was he thinking? Or what am I supposed to do now? So the great thing about the human brain is that it's like a machine. You pose a question, and it will come up with an answer. So that to the question, you know, why on earth would he do that, there's no lack of answers. It could be he's selfish, or he doesn't care, or he's too busy, he's thoughtless, he's stubborn, he's rude and self-centered, and on and on and on. So if you really want to improve the quality of your relationship, you've got to ask yourself empowering questions that are going to put your brain to work to give you some amazing answers. So here are some examples specific to maybe your partner that you can ask yourself. What's amazing about who he is as a person? What's something I've learned from him that's made my life better? How can I show him love today and expect nothing in return? What's good about having him in my life? And in what ways has he helped me? So if you spend 2 minutes a day, you know, asking yourself an empowering question and coming up with the answer, your experience in your relationship will be different. There's no other way because your mind will go to work to find those answers. And so, you know, I love empowering questions, as I said, and I'm really good at coming up with them. At least I think so. So I've created this resource of empowering questions that I will share with you how you can get your hands on it a little bit later. So again, recap, point number 8, ask yourself an empowering question. Number 9 is a really interesting one. It is ask before you assume. And this is something that if you really put it into practice, it'll sort of blow your mind. You know, again, we are really good at making up stories and assuming why someone does something or doesn't do something. And here I'm suggesting that you suspend assumptions and ask the question. And the key here is to watch your tone and your nonverbals when you ask. You know, there's a difference between asking, why did you do that? And asking, what made you make that decision? So if that means that you have to pause and take a moment before asking your question, do that, because if there's any bitterness or anger in your questioning, it's going to come across. It's important to understand your intent when you ask the question, you know, because there's a difference in asking something to prove a point and asking something with genuine curiosity. And you want to get to that genuine curiosity where you're saying, I wonder why he did that. Where there's no judgment and you are really just honestly excited to learn the answer. And to do that, you have to assume good intent and remember that you are on the same team, that your partner is not your enemy, even though it may feel that way. So number 9, ask before you assume. The next is to invest the time to make your relationship work today. So this is really important that I'm going to close with it. And, you know, like anything in life, you get out of it what you put into it. We're all busy, and I know it seems like the days get shorter and our to-do list gets longer. But I'll ask you, where is your relationship on that to-do list? Has it even made the list? Or are you thinking, I'll get to it when things settle down? Or work is crazy. I've got so much going on with the kids and other projects. I just can't squeeze another thing in. You know, well, the truth is there will always be something else in the way. Your life will always be busy. You know, I can't remember a time when I was less busy than I am now. And so, you know, making your relationship a priority is really important. And it doesn't have to take a lot of time. You know, there's some really simple interactions that you can have or things that you can do. Even right now, you know, you could share that you were just listening to this call and it reminded you how important your relationship is. You can invite your partner to watch TV with you, or you can DVR your favorite TV show and spend time with him instead. You can ask him about his day with genuine interest and give him your full attention and not interrupt him. You could also send a random text message just to let him know that you're thinking of him. And so, again, those are just some quick and easy things that you can do to make your relationship a priority right now in the moment. It's really easy to get into this routine that leaves you disconnected instead of connecting. And it's really important to, again, just try to find those ways that you can connect with each other. And it should not feel like homework or a task. You know, find simple and fun things you can do that can bring you closer. So, you know, that is the 10 points. And I'm just going to do a brief pause again to see what Natasha might want to share. And then I'm going to tell you a little bit more about something really exciting that I want to offer those of you that are listening to this call.
Okay, great. So while Siobhan is taking a moment, I just want to thank everybody again for those that did join the call last night and those that are listening and enjoying this recording today. And just let you know that I am going to allow Siobhan to share with you her special invitation as well as where you can reach her. But also just wanted to let everybody know again that P2Pwomen.com, if you can check out our website and also sign up for the newsletter. P2P talks happen every month. They happen once a month right now. We will extend them later as the network grows. But right now we are having our P2P talks once a month, and they're usually held every Thursday, every third Thursday or every fourth Thursday of the month at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. If you have any topics that you would like us to discuss, career, personal, financial, health, you know, we're trying to cover it all. Married, single, divorced, you know, interested, looking, or wherever you are in your state, you can send me an email at Natasha, N-A-T-A-S-H-A, at P2Pwomen.com, and, you know, let us know what topics, what things are you interested in. And always looking for feedback on the recordings and the discussions that we have had so far. And you can also find those on the website. Usually the recordings are posted right after that Friday morning or before the following Monday in the blog area. You can find it in the events section. So I just encourage you all to just take advantage. You can also find us on Facebook at Passion to Purpose Women. And yeah, so we're just looking to grow together, learn together, and we would love your input on how we can make that happen and how we can assist you wherever you need assistance. Some other things, we do send out a weekly inspirational via email, a weekly affirmation called Declare It. So if you would like to receive that, you can also sign up. When you sign up for the newsletter, you will also be added to that list as well. Okay? So without further ado, I'm going to ask Siobhan to come back and just give us any closing remarks or comments and to share with everyone her exciting invitation.
Thank you, Natasha. I have to say, I love those declarets that you send every week. I really look forward to that. So I encourage everyone on the call to sign up at p2pwomen.com. So one of the things, you know, I knew that when I developed this talk, there would be a lot of information to digest, and I'm really excited that we've been able to re-record it. And I hope that you've heard something that has really struck you where it was sort of right on point, where it's sort of like, yep, I need to do more of that, or nope, I need to do less of that. And I know that there's probably some great energy right now because you're listening to this information and you're sort of still processing it. And probably what I've shared you may have heard in some way, shape, or form before, and you probably got really excited and committed to doing things differently, right? So you took your notes, you read your books, and then what happened? Probably like 2 or 3 weeks later, you were sort of back patterns and regular habits. Behavior change is incredibly hard, and research has actually shown that it takes about 66 days or around 2 months to form a lasting habit. Now, as I shared, I'm a program person. I've spent, you know, many, many years developing relationship-based programs, and I always know that you can get something valuable out of a call like this or sort of a one-shot deal, but that to really make a lasting impact, you need a little bit more support. So, you know, if you found any of this helpful but feel like, you know, this is great, I really want to sort of get into a groove of this and could use some more reinforcement, I really want to offer something that I think is amazing for you. So I've developed this program. It's called Getting to Happily, which is an 8-week program designed to go deeper on many of the topics I've talked about tonight. This program takes the best of the strategies I use in my coaching practice, and it brings it right to you in your inbox. It includes 8 modules that you can complete on your own time each week. And each of those modules is structured the same way. It includes an inspiration or scripture to keep you in the right mindset. It includes exercises to help you process your thoughts and what's happening in your relationship. It provides tools that help you learn and grow as an individual. It includes some of those empowering questions to open your mind and transform your thinking. And then it also offers some action steps that are easy to do that you can do right away that will make a big difference in your relationship. And in addition to those 8 modules, I wanted to make sure that you had some proper support along the way. So this program includes 2 group coaching calls, one at 4 weeks and one at 8 weeks. And during those coaching calls, you'll be able to connect and get support from the other women in the program. You'll also get some extra motivation to complete your modules, which we can always use. You will also be celebrating successes and sharing any challenges you have, and then you'll receive that additional coaching support from me directly. And then I'm also including this bonus of a private Facebook group where you can post questions in real time, and you can have this ongoing connection with me as well as other women in the program. And I'll also be sharing sort of extra tips and encouragement through that Facebook group, which you would actually have a lifetime membership for. So it's not just for the 8 weeks. You'd be a part of that group for as long as you are interacting with Facebook. And so it really provides those touch points for months and years to come. And for those of you who don't know, a private Facebook group does not show up in your newsfeed. It's almost like a secret society that you're a part of. And then if you're not on Facebook, I still have a way of getting that information to you. So when you think about a program like this, it should cost hundreds of dollars, honestly. For example, you know, therapy will run you $130 to $175 just for one session, and you never get everything accomplished in one session. You need probably like at least 5, which could cost up to, you know, $750, close to $1,000. And I've also seen some other shorter programs that coaches offer that you receive a lot less and it costs more. So let me just tell you, you know, the retail price for this program, the 8 modules, the 2 coaching sessions, and the private Facebook group is $300, which is already under market value. And, you know, the 8 modules themselves are valued at $200. The group coaching calls are valued at $100. Private Facebook group is sort of priceless. I can't even put a number on that. But I'm offering a major discount for anyone that is listening to this call. And for a limited time, this is only till Wednesday, March 25th at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern, I'm offering a 70% discount, which means that you can have this program, the 8 modules, 2 coaching calls, and lifetime Facebook group for $97. And so, you know, if we think about this, you know, let's just think, ladies, right? So we like to shop. I'm sure you like to shop. I like to shop. There are things we need from time to time. And it's really easy to find a way to spend $97. We go through a rationalization process, right? So you think about how much you need it, how you'll wear it, how much use you'll get out of it, how rare the item is, like, oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like that. Maybe it's on sale. Maybe you're really excited for the compliments you'll get. And so all of that happens for you, right? So you could think about the last time you were at DSW or the last time you were at Target or even online. You know, I was just on Michael Kors the other day looking at their gorgeous bracelets. And, you know, they're actually much more than $97. But now I want you to think about your marriage or your relationship and imagine being really happy and imagine less stress at home and feeling loved and being loved. You know, how much is that worth for you? And I'm sure you would say it's worth more than any material possession that will probably go out of style in a few years. And if we break this price down by weeks, it's just $12 a week, which honestly we quickly spend at Panera on a good You Pick Two or a few trips to Starbucks. So I know your relationship or marriage is more valuable than a soup and sandwich or a few lattes. So if you can get online now, you can actually read about the program at gettingtohappily.com. It's GETTINGTOHAPPILY.com, gettingtohappily.com. And I really encourage you to just take a look at it. You can also learn more about my company, Relatable. There is a link right on the Getting to Happily site, which just says learn more about Be Relatable. My website is also Be Relatable, so it's BereLateAble. So it's Be Relate Able. You can find me there, my email there. There's also a link to Getting to Happily there. So both sites sort of talk to each other. So I really encourage you, again, to get online, take a look at the program, and act fast because really, you know, it is a steal at $97. And I can only offer that till Wednesday, March the 25th at 5 o'clock p.m. So I really, again, am so honored to have been a part of your time and your life in this moment. I hope to continue to be a part of it through this 8-week program and through our connection through group coaching and the private Facebook group. So again, I strongly encourage you, check it out, gettingtohappily.com. You can ask me any questions you have about it. And again, my email is Siobhan@BeRelatable.com. It's CHAVONNE@BeRelateAble.com. I know that's a lot to remember. So if Getting to Happily is just the easiest thing you can remember, go there. You'll find it all there. Again, thank you so much for your time. It has been my honor and pleasure to spend it with you. And I wish you all the best in having the relationship that you want.
Thank you, Siobhan. And thank you, everyone, for joining us on this call. Our next call will be in April, the third Thursday in April. Look out for information on that on the Facebook website, via email if you're on our list, our email list. And I encourage you to join my list, Siobhan's list, and take advantage of this incredible low-priced 8-week module program. I know that you will not be disappointed. I know I will be running and signing up before you guys fill up a space for me. So let's learn, grow, and just enjoy our relationships together. Okay, everyone, have a great night, and we will talk to you next month. Take care.